Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. Always remember that if you're new to this and haven't heard this before, every Sunday, 10:30 in the morning, we have a Zoom fellowship service. And we have an actual in-person and Zoom service on the first Sunday of every month. So, you know, just check your e-newsletter or weekly update so that you can join us in those services. But right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of for all who are seeking to develop and fully express their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine identity. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we'll have the daily word for today, Sunday, March the 10th. The key word is timeless, and the affirmation is, in timeless moments in the silence, I discover myself anew. I relax and let go, withdrawing my attention from my surroundings. Breathing deeply and rhythmically, my mind relaxes and my heart opens. I enter my sacred inner sanctuary. Here I have no awareness of time. I hear no words, I think no thoughts, I feel no separation. There is only the richness of silence, the awesome presence of infinite life, love, and wisdom. I am one with this presence. The time and attention I devote to my regular practice of meditation builds deep, abiding peace and clarity in my consciousness. In these timeless moments, I discover I have all I need, enough strength, understanding, love, and time to progress along my path and accomplish all that is mine to do. The scripture reading is taken from Revelation 21:1, and it reads, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." Amen. And now we'll have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So we are still on this journey, aligning with the flow of change. This is actually part four of this Lenten series. And, you know, I've been doing a subtitle. And today's subtitle is Becoming a Master Through the 40-Day Lenten Journey. Okay? And in all these talks that we do, lessons we do, we're always trying to figure out what are the mechanics of the process, okay? And that's what we're going to look at today, the mechanics of becoming a master. Now, through becoming a master through this journey we're going through. Now, we're talking about the Lenten journey, but, you know, this is a time that we acknowledge that this is Lent. But this journey is continuous, all right? And this 40-day process is really symbolic. I mean, from a biblical perspective, the number 40 appears frequently in the Bible, often signifying a period of testing, being tested, a period of transformation, of preparation for something that's coming, right? So the Lenten period is about making a shift from linear time to sacred time, sort of what Pam was reading about in the Daily Word this morning. And this means this shift from linear time to sacred time means making the shift from the linear time of daily life, you know, that's kind of what is the dominant thing in our mind is, you know, what's happening on a daily basis, making the shift from that to sacred time, which is for a time of reflection and spiritual focus, all right? So to fully engage in the Lenten journey requires that we take a break from our typical routine and give ourselves a chance to reconnect with the deeper truths that we've been studying and learning, okay? So the 40-day journey is a powerful metaphor for our personal journey of transformation, self-discovery, and spiritual growth to prepare ourselves for a new phase in our life that comes from awakening to a greater truth about ourselves. Okay? Now, this greater truth or greater understanding comes out of our embracing the task of working through the battles that may be occurring inside of us. Like you always heard me say 1,000 times, a Klingon warrior, Worf, said the greatest battle we can fight is the battle that goes on within us, okay? So that's what this process is about, is embracing, listen, the task of working through the barriers that may be occurring within us. So this journey is an inside journey, which, if taken seriously, gives us the courage to confront our fears, our doubts, and our desires. And overcoming these challenges is crucial for our spiritual growth. Okay? It's a process through which we can experience the purification of old habits and emerge stronger both physically and spiritually. And it, you know, it allows us to begin to see ourselves differently and more clearly. That's what we're looking for. You know, as Paul says, now I look in the mirror darkly, which means we're not really seeing ourselves clearly. He says, but then I come face to face. Then I see clearly. So that's what we're working from looking in the mirror darkly to really beginning to understand the totality of our being, both the spiritual side and the human side. And this process allows us to begin to see ourselves, you know, from that perspective. So the result of putting in this inner work is usually a sense of mastery. In other words, when you put in the work, because you're working at it, you're developing a sense of mastery, giving us the mental, emotional strength to make significant changes in one or more areas of our lives. Okay, and that's that step-by-step process I think we talked about last week. You know, that you're not going to change everything all at one time. You know, as we've been saying, you're not going to let go of everything all at one time, but you're going to start making significant changes in one or more areas of your life. However, as one source explains, becoming a master of your own life is a journey, not a destination. It's a continuous process of growth and learning. And we all know this, okay? There will be times when you'll stumble, but the important thing is to keep moving forward and taking responsibility for your own happiness and fulfillment, all right? So when you have those times, you go, oh, man, I messed up, okay? But, okay, just you can acknowledge that you messed up, but don't let that change your enthusiasm, your inspiration to keep moving forward. And as we may have been talking, you know, as we've been talking about throughout this series, change can often bring up old fears, as well as give us new insights about ourselves. And it is these new insights that can lead us to a greater sense of mastery in our spiritual journey. So new insights can give you a fresh, new understanding about yourself, or new realizations that can shed some light on a situation you're dealing with. You know, you're struggling with these, but you're working with it from a sacred space as opposed to a fearful space, a linear space. You know, how am I going to figure this out here? But you're more or less letting the figuring out being happening within you, okay? And that process can shed new light on the situations you're dealing with. So new insights are like finding a missing piece of a puzzle that often comes into your mind or your awareness, okay, that completes the picture or outcome you've been visualizing. So a lot of times when we're struggling with something, you know, we're visualizing how we would like this outcome to be. And in this process of being open to new insights, a lot of times that piece of that puzzle you're missing will come to you, all right? Or it can satisfy a want or desire that hasn't been you haven't been able to verbalize. And you might be saying, there's something I'm trying to figure out here, but I just can't quite grasp what it is. And all of a sudden, that piece of the puzzle comes. It comes in many different ways, okay? And it helps you to, you know, figure out or become aware of something that you really weren't able to verbalize. And somebody says, well, what are you trying to accomplish? And you might not be able to answer that. You know it's something, but you really can't put your finger on it, okay? So new insights often cause us to proclaim, yes, this is what I wanted, even though we couldn't quite describe it before it appears in our life. All right, so that's this idea of new insights, something that's above and beyond your existing intellect, your existing knowledge base. Okay? So these revelations come as a result of increased levels of mastery as you travel the 40-day Lenten journey more consciously. And we're going to get into the details of that process, okay? So, yes, I know that the term mastery can create some, you know, anxiety. Just think about that. When people said, you know, we're working towards becoming masters, and a lot of times that can create some anxiety because we don't really understand what that's all about. But remember, again, it's a lifelong process, so understanding it evolves over time, okay? And a good term to describe the mechanics of this lifelong journey is a process called metacognition. Now, this is a term I think we talked about before, metacognition. A simple explanation of metacognition is this. So metacognition is the process of thinking about what you are thinking. Okay? It involves thinking about how you learn and embrace new information. Metacognition involves understanding how you obtain information, process it, and store it in your memory so that you can access it again when you need it, okay? And each one of us does this differently, okay? We don't all learn exactly in the same way, all right? So you're trying to really understand the process by which you do that. And that definitely applies to the spiritual journey. It's one thing to hear and learn about spiritual principles that we can apply in our lives to get us through challenging situations. But it's a whole other thing to be able to recall and apply what we learn when challenging situations pop up in our lives. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, we can say, yeah, I studied it, I kind of got it, I understand it. But when stuff happens, can you recall it? And then, you know, use it to help you to move peacefully through whatever it is that all of a sudden popped up in your life. That's the key that we're trying to get to, is the application of this in the different aspects of our lives. Now, a Bible scripture that we all know well, okay, speaks to this idea of metacognition, thinking about what you're thinking about, okay, and then how to make conscious corrections. Let me say this again. This is a scripture we all know. When I start saying it, you're going to go, oh, I know that scripture. Okay. But this scripture is talking about, it's all about this idea of thinking about what you're thinking about and then how to make conscious corrections to what you're thinking about if that's necessary. And again, it's written by Paul. It's in Philippians 4:8. So you can always just close your eyes and listen if you want to. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, here it is, here's the metacognition, think on these things, okay? So this wisdom from Paul clearly falls within the realm of metacognition. Paul is saying, set your mind to only think about that which reflects goodness and virtue. As one source explains, says, a virtue is a trait of our personal excellence, including traits that may be moral, social, or intellectual. The cultivation and refinement of virtue is held to be of the good of humanity, and thus is valued as a fundamental principle of being.
Foundational.
Oh, thank you, honey. Foundational principle of being. Okay. So this definition is certain fits into the positive attributes of thinking that Paul was sharing in Philippians 4:8. Now, the following is a list, a sort of a summary of what we just read from Paul. Right? And the summary is, if you take out what he was saying, he's saying, really, think about things that are true, honorable, right, pure, okay, of good repute, excellence, and things that are praiseworthy. Right? And I've put some extra words there for you to look at later. But those are kind of the main ideas that we're working with. in terms of this idea of metacognition, thinking about what you are thinking. Okay, does it fit within the scope of that which Paul gave us? Now, but to be able to keep our mind focused on these positive attributes requires us to be spiritually intentional on our sacred journey. And let me say this again. You know, to keep our mind focused on these positive attributes requires us to be spiritually intentional on our sacred journey. Now, being intentional means being deliberate, okay? Making deliberate mental, emotional choices that reflect what we're about as we travel our spiritual path. Now, it's very similar to being prayed up, meaning being in a state of readiness for what life may throw at you. That's what prayed up means. Okay, you're pre-prepared. I think that's the word I used last week. You're pre-prepared for whatever life throws at you. And this state of being prayed up fosters a sense of spiritual grounding, alignment, and readiness for whatever challenges or experiences may come. Okay? So being intentional, or what is called being prayed up, can help us maintain a more steady, positive mindset that's imbued with spirit. You see what I'm saying? So you've created the intention, or the idea of being prayed up. You got these ideas that we've gotten from Paul, and maybe other ideas, similar concepts that you've read in other places. But it's keeping our mind, when I'm thinking about what I'm thinking, is it in alignment with, say, what Paul was talking about? Okay, so and this process helps us stay spiritually present. Now, it can also increase our focus and commitment and bring more purpose and meaning to our lives. Now, here are some key explanations of what it means to be spiritually present. Okay, so being spiritually present, okay, is being fully engaged with the moment. Now, this involves quieting your mind chatter and focusing on the present experience with all of your senses. Now, this is an interesting thing to look at, because you're saying quieting the mind's chatter and focusing on the present experience you're going through with all of your senses. In other words, you savor the sights, sounds, smells, tastes, and textures of surrounding, giving you a holistic sense of what you are experiencing. Now, that takes really some discussion, and maybe we can do it in a discussion thing. Like, how do you stop your mind from being in chatter, but also increase your senses and just get a feeling for what's going on around you? And it also says letting go of distractions. This includes worries about the future, regrets about the past, and judgments about yourself or others. You're fully present in the current moment without getting pulled away by mental noise. Okay, so So being spiritually present deepens a connection. Spiritual presence can foster a sense of connection with a higher power, nature, or a sense of universal oneness. It allows you to appreciate the beauty and wonder of existence. Inner peace and inner peace and acceptance. By letting go of distractions, you can experience a sense of inner peace and acceptance. And you are more open to what is happening when you're not being resistant, okay? So, you know, I agree that mastery and intention can be challenging concepts. Let me say it again. I agree that mastery and intention can be challenging concepts. But if you think about it, mastery is about intention, and intention is about mastery. Okay? See, these two concepts are reciprocal. They have a reciprocal relationship, making them mutually reinforcing. So as one source explains, it says, now this source, this side is talking about the intention side. So intention fuels mastery. That's part of what I just said. It brings clarity and direction. A strong intention acts as a guiding force, helps you define what you want to achieve and what it is you want to master. And this clarity allows you to focus your efforts and make deliberate spiritual practice more effective. And then motivation and persistence, you know, when you truly intend to master something, and I think some of you can relate to this, when you truly intend to master something, it ignites a passion within you. This intrinsic motivation gives you the dedication and persistence needed to overcome challenges and push through mental barriers, okay? And then the next side, other side of the coin, is mastery strengthens intention. So it gives you confidence and belief. As you gain mastery in your understanding of how to live from spirit, your confidence grows. You start to see what you're capable of achieving, which reinforces your intention and inspires you to strive for even higher levels of consciousness. And you get a refined focus. So mastery allows you to refine your intention. You gain a greater understanding of the nuances of the spiritual life. And that's what we're looking for, a greater understanding of the nuances of the spiritual life. And this allows you to focus your intention with greater precision. Okay? So that's a look at the two sides of the coin, mastery and intention. So the interplay between intention and mastery is a continuous cycle, right? A strong intention propels you towards mastery, and the experience of mastery strengthens your intention, setting you on a path for continuous growth. Okay, again, think of those two working together. But these concepts require mindful thoughtfulness. Okay, now when you combine the word mindfulness with thoughtfulness, you create a powerful way to interact with the world. Thinking about that. You combine these two concepts, combining mindfulness with thoughtfulness, you create a powerful way to interact with the world. It creates a tendency to more thoroughly think through what you are intending. Okay? Now, an interesting scripture on intention to illustrate this is in Luke 14, 28. Now, Jesus says to the crowd who's following him, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. When you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it. For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Okay, so Jesus is basically saying that if you intend to do something, you should first sit down and give your intention some thought. Okay, not just, you know, say it, you know, as I say, it's my willy-nilly, but you sit down and you really think about this intention that you're setting. Or as we often say, you can say, I'm going to pray about it, or I'm going to meditate on it. Basically the same idea, okay? It's all about making sure that our mind, heart, and spirit are really in tune and committed to what it is we intend to do or what we intend to be. Okay, so as we read in Proverbs, which supports this idea, it says, what you think about yourself, what you believe is possible for you to become, do, or have, is exactly what you will be, do, or have, for no other reason than these are your thoughts. Okay? So this verse is expressing that if what you are thinking in your mind is different from what you are feeling in your heart, you are faced with a conundrum, meaning which one do you believe is the right choice? Now, this makes a conundrum even more challenging because there can be multiple desirable and undesirable choices, making your path forward unclear. Okay, and we all have had this experience. Your head saying one thing, your heart saying another. Okay, and the circumstances before you may make it difficult for you to say, which one of these should I go with, all right? That's the conundrum. However, even though this can be frustrating, now listen carefully, even though this can be frustrating, conundrums are also opportunities for growth because they can force you to think more creatively. So instead of just getting frustrated with it's like one part of me is saying one thing, another part of me is saying another thing, and in the circumstances out here making this even worse to try to figure out, right? Conundrum will opportunities for growth because they will force you to think more creative. Look at different possible outcomes as opposed to just one or two, which is an opportunity to be still, be spiritually present, and listen. Okay? And when you learn how to do that and you get answers that you feel inspired to move forward on, that's when you're becoming closer to mastery. Okay, that's what it looks like. So referring again to scripture for some guidance, let's look at the 23rd Psalm and how it offers a path through a conundrum, right? So while the 23rd Psalm might not provide a direct solution to your conundrum, it can offer emotional and spiritual support. It can remind you that you are not alone and there is hope for peace and renewal even in the face of difficulty. So think about the opening line. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Okay. Because a lot of times when we're in these difficult situations, we're saying, if I only had this, I only had that. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. This provides a sense of security and trust. So that even in a difficult situation, you can find solace in the belief that you are not alone. That there's a higher power watching over you. Or if you're open to this particular theory, you can say, there are angels assigned to me. One of the things I do quite a bit is I give thanks to my guides and teachers, what I'm calling the angels that watch over me, my guides and teachers that help me when I'm working to create a Sunday lesson. Okay, so you can think from that perspective. And as you hear me say so often, the Holy Spirit is always with you. Okay, and that's whether you want to embrace that idea or not. So when you find yourself in a conundrum, just affirm for yourself, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Okay. And then this is a little different look at this. The line that says, God makes me lie down in green pastures. Well, think of green pastures as the word of God, which is full of divine life. Okay, green pastures. You think, when you look at a green pasture, you think of flourishing, you know, activity, flourishing grass and flowers and whatnot. Right, so the Lord is, helps me to lie down in green. Think of green pastures. Now, think of that as being full of divine life that nourishes our soul. Okay, when it makes Lord God makes me lie down in green pastures, think of it as lying down in divine life that nourishes our soul, and can never be withered by the challenges we may be experiencing in our life. So a green pasture, in this connotation, this context, is something that can never be withered. So no matter what you're going through, those green pastures, that divine life that's nourishing your soul, can never be withered by no matter what the challenge is. Okay, so which is what is meant by the verse, God refreshes my soul. That's part of the 23rd Psalm. And so this psalm states very clearly that this divine consciousness that is the essence of our own being will guide you along the still waters, along the right paths. So even though you may be walking through the darkest valley in your life, you know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though you may be walking through the darkest valley in your life, in the reality that is divine, listen to how I said that, in the reality that is divine, not the reality, not linear reality that you may be experiencing. We're talking about sacred reality. In the reality that is divine, there is no need to fear because you are in the presence and protection of the divine. So yes, this is a huge mental, emotional step to take to get out of a conundrum, out of the gnawing need to be fearful or worried. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you're in this conundrum, you got these choices, you don't know what to do, fear and worry comes up, and it's what we're saying, that if you have that mental process we just did, that spiritual state of mind we just talked about, okay, there's no need to be fearful or worried. But that is the intention built into the 40-day Lenten journey. And as we know with many things in our lives, mastery does not come easy. It takes a lot of practice to develop the mindset to be able to switch to your sacred self when life is throwing a lot of craziness at you. You will not become a master overnight. And there will be times, maybe many times, that you'll try coming into life, coming at something in your life with from your sacred self. You say, okay, this is the situation. I'm going to come at it from my sacred self. And you can, if you feel, when you're doing it, you're feeling clumsy or awkward because you really, you're kind of moving from the fearful ego self into your sacred self. And if it feels clumsy and awkward, making you want to quickly run back to your ego self where you can feel safe and in your own familiar territory. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. I get that because I know how that feels. I go through the same thing. But we're on the path to mastery. So even though we may at times run back home to our old familiar self, that doesn't change our intention. That's why Jesus said, sit down and figure out what your intention is, and then stick to that. And because once we set our intention, truly set our intention, even while we're laying in bed all snuggled up with our ego, we will still hear Spirit calling us to say, all right, that's enough time wallowing. Get back to it. Now, you see? Because you set the intention. So now you know what to get back to. Okay? So Ernest Holmes explains in his book, The Magic of the Mind, this is what he says. We do not need to be specific in the details as to the how, the why, or the way it will happen. But we must be definite and concrete, that's the intention, in our mental acceptance of the results that we expect to experience. Okay? And that's what intention looks like. So I'm going to end with this affirmation for you to work with this week. Again, this is from Science Mind Magazine, March 8th. And it says, I am conscious of my wonderful creative thoughts. I am conscious of my wonderful creative thoughts. Okay, that's metacognition. You are thinking about that. I'm conscious of my wonderful creative thoughts. So I will remain on high alert for what will manifest in my life. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So family, as we prepare for this meditation, gently close your eyes or take a downward gaze and bring your attention to your breath. Inhale deeply and slowly and exhale gently. Allow your body to relax and continue your breathing pattern. Your breath becomes smooth and effortless, and lingering thoughts drift away. Your mind is quiet and still as the following words become your very own. In the silence, I touch the presence of God within, and I find perfect peace. Putting aside cares of the moment, I return to center. I silence my thoughts and still my wandering mind and go deep within. At the center of my being, I find God, the presence and power of divine love and intelligence that knows no bounds. I remember who I am. I am divine presence and power. I am love and wisdom and gratitude. I am the perfect expression of wholeness, abundance, and peace. Whenever I find myself in unsettling circumstances, I return to center. Moving through difficult emotions or interfering beliefs, I focus on my awareness of God within. I reinforce myself with encouraging thoughts and positive words, and reclaim my peace. The perfect peace that is my true nature. I am anchored, poised, and capable of peace, which is always available within. I am grateful for my ability to remain centered. And now let us move to that secret place of the Most High, where faith, peace, love, and joy abide. Take the next few moments to listen to that still small voice within. As always, Holy Spirit, you know our thoughts and our desires, and you always give us the answers we need. We give thanks in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is, and forever shall be. Amen. When you are ready, come back to your surroundings and join us.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
All right, so again, this is the time we become conscious of all the wonderful blessings in our lives. And it's interesting about taking the time to be conscious of the blessings in our lives, because actually blessings come in such quantities that we are really not always aware of all the blessings we're receiving. So that's why we take this time to acknowledge that with our prosperity prayer. So let's say that together. Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me. Amen.
Amen.
And the same thing with our unity, with our spiritual home, Unity Center of Light, the place where we get our spiritual food from. We are so thankful for all of those who donate to support Unity Center of Light. So we ask you to hold your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit as we say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. And now we have light notes.
Light notes. Light notes for Sunday, March the 10th. The Book Light Book Club will meet today at 1 p.m. to discuss the book by Linda Martella-Whitsett called This Life is Yours, Discover Your Power, Claim Your Wholeness, and Heal Your Life. The Zoom link is in your updates and your e-newsletters. It's time once again to consider our commitment program to ourselves and to our spiritual community. This is about our financial support as well as commitment to our spiritual growth in consciousness and creating the life we want to live. The fillable forms are in your updates and e-newsletter. If you have difficulty returning the forms, please call the office or email Patty. The Lenten Weekly Discussion Group continues. You may still join us at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. These discussions are taking place to support our congregation and at the same time support our three facilitators, Joe Blackstone, Kathleen Bailey, and April May. This series goes through March 27th. Reverend Butch is focusing his Lent series in the Sunday services, and so are the children. They're learning the same things we are learning. March 17th, our guest speaker is Richard Pacheco. He will deliver the lesson and the meditation. The musical guest is Rhonda Dene, and all this will be on Zoom. Join us for our next in-person and Zoom service, March 31st. This is our Easter service, and we're excited about seeing everyone. We will have an Easter Lily giveaway that day, so don't miss out. And our final announcement is Sunday, April 7th, we will hold our annual membership meeting. It'll be on Zoom following the service. The Zoom link is the same and as our Sunday service link. Everyone is invited to participate, but only members may vote. We look forward to seeing all of you virtually. There will be no in-person service in April due to the two services in March. And that concludes the announcements for today.
All right. So
now it's time to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion,
zeal
and gusto together. I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
And then right to our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
Right. So it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. We hope that you enjoyed it. And we got a wonderful week coming up. I understand some of the days are going to be like in 75. So, you know, enjoy this coming week, and we look forward to seeing you next week. All right.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.